a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
We'll call the House Taxation Committee meeting to order. I'd like to welcome everybody here today, welcome those who are listening in on the Internet. As a reminder, please turn off your cell phones, put them on vibrate if you would. At this point, I'll have the Secretary call the roll.
Representatives Kirschman.
Here.
Feinstein. Peterson.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Excuse.
Solem.
Here.
Lateral.
Here.
Novstrup.
Here.
Rosum.
Here.
Rasmussen.
Here.
Erickson.
Here.
Duvall.
Here.
Miller. Russell. Wick. Greenfield.
Here. We have a quorum. I understand that my microphone is cutting out, so I'm going to borrow my neighbor's. We have a number of people obviously here, and a lot of you want to testify on House Bill 1066. Before we get started, I am going to recognize Representative Solem for a personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am really, really surprised that all of you hospitality and tourism folks got up this early. And I qualify that statement, and that comes with personal experience. And please, Mr. Chair, if our committee and this group, I'd like to recognize my youngest brother, John, who, please stand if you can, John. Thank you.
I'd like to remind everybody who wishes to testify on either of the bills today, please sign in at the back. There's a podium back there with the sign-in sheet. I'll have our page come forward and introduce himself. Anybody who has any materials to distribute, please get them to the page, and he'll hand those out at the right time. Please.
I'm DJ Beckwith. I'm from here in Pierre. Yeah.
Thank you, DJ. Is Caleb in here yet? Last week, one of our interns had fallen ill. He became a victim of the influenza bug, so he had to miss, and we weren't able to introduce him. And he's coming this way as we speak. Caleb, would you go ahead and introduce yourself, please? And then you can deliver your coffee to me.
I won't talk about that. My name is Caleb Fink. I hail from Tripp, South Dakota, and I am the intern assigned to work with Representative Greenfield.
And the rest of the tax committee. Thank you, Caleb. Appreciate that. With that, I'm going to get right down to business. I'm pulling up my my bill so that we can read the title. At this time, we will entertain testimony on House Bill 1066. House Bill 1066 is an act to continue the current rate of the gross receipt tax imposed on visitor-related businesses. Are there any proponents? Representative Lust.
Just me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative David Lust from District 34. What I'm going to do is, if a lot of folks behind me want to say some things and give you some statistics and some anecdotal information, what I want to do is kind of set the framework here from a tax policy perspective. I mean, everyone, at least most in the legislature, are leery when it comes to when we talk about taxes and where we are with taxes. But I represent to you today that this, what we're doing here is prudent and responsible tax policy in this respect. 4 years ago, this half-penny tax was implemented as a sunset. And there's some who think, well, you know, the sunset was just a precursor for being permanent. And I disagree. The folks behind me are going to make the case why this should be permanent. But we've now had 4 years to build a case to show that it works, that this half penny works from a tax perspective. And I think that approach, wading in, seeing if it works, if it does work, make it permanent, is absolutely the prudent course to take. We've got evidence now that it does work. Folks behind me have convinced me that making it permanent is the way to go, and I'm hopeful that they will do the same with you. So with that, I will leave it to the folks to prove their case. I think the evidence is strong that this is the way to go, and I will let them get to it without further delay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you, Representative Lust. For the proponents, and I would ask that we do try to, any proponents, try to keep your testimony to new testimony. We do have, as I said, a number of people who wish to testify. We're going to try to wrap things up by about 10 after 9 or a quarter after 9 and then move on to committee discussion and action. Thanks.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Lauren Pankratz. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Visitor Alliance, which is essentially a trade group of consisting of most of these people and others that are sitting behind me in the room today in the tourism business. And I would tell you that this has been quite an experience and pleasure to work with this army, and they're quite a quite friendly army, I might add. They have just done a marvelous job in reaching out to legislators, members of this committee, as well as others in the legislature, to tell you why they believe this is so important. And there are an awful lot of folks that have been working on this. And with your permission, Mr. Chairman, I have a handout.
Page. Is our page here?
That is a listing, and I won't read them to you, but it's a listing of folks who are have endorsed past resolutions or in support of House Bill 1066, and would encourage you to scan through that list and see folks that are in support of it. And with up here with me today is Mr. Russ Jobman, who is the president of the South Dakota Visitor Alliance, as well as a longtime businessman in the tourism community and business. So I'd like to turn it over to him, Mr. Chairman.
Sure, please.
Brief about myself. I have been working at Mount Rushmore now. I am the general manager for Zantara Parks and Resorts at Mount Rushmore National Memorial, and I have been there. This will be my 43rd season, so I have been very involved in tourism for 43 years. This half a penny is very important to the tourism industry. It funds our marketing, and without it, the State Department of Tourism has no funds to fund our marketing. And unfortunately, that severely impacts the number of people that will visit South Dakota. As most of you probably already realize, most people think Mount Rushmore is in North Dakota. They don't realize it's in South Dakota, so we've got to educate them. And if we're going to educate them, we need to advertise, and we need to let them know. We need this funding so the State Department of Tourism can advertise and show the people that South Dakota has what they need to come see. On top of that, 77% of this half cent comes from out of state. It is not South Dakota citizens that are paying this tax. It is the out-of-state citizens. Now, show me a tax in South Dakota that's paid by out-of-state people. It's 90% of them are all paid by South Dakota people. This one is paid by out-of-state visitors. Excuse me. It is a matching. The State of South Dakota Department of Tourism uses it as a matching. It can go up. We collect $2 million. It can go up as high as $3, $4 million when it's a matching with people like me that will advertise and match dollar for dollar to the Department of Tourism. So it can go up as high as $4 million. On top of that, it's really not a tax bill. This is a jobs bill. You cut out the advertising, the people quit coming, the businesses start laying off people because they don't have the guests coming in bringing the dollars in. So this is really a jobs bill. It really is. If I don't have the money coming in, I start laying off staff. And if you lay off staff, you know where it goes. You know where we've been the last few years. I really urge you to support this and pass it out of committee, if you would.
Thank you, gentlemen. Are there further proponents?
And Mr. Chairman, I would also add that we have probably 9 or 10 folks that would like to speak. Secretary Hagan from the Tourism Department will be coming up next. And we've encouraged folks to be short, concise, and non-repetitive. So
perfect.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Pankratz. Mr. Hagan.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good morning. I would like you to know I am a friendly soldier in this Army, so nothing to fear from me this morning. I first want to begin my comments by thanking the legislature. I think oftentimes the Department of Tourism, the governor, others can get credit for marketing that may be going on, success that we may be seeing. But the legislature, each legislator, deserves credit for the success that we're having. Without your support, we wouldn't be able to do the marketing. And you're as much a part of this equation as anybody. So I just wanted to thank all of you for the support, the tremendous support that you've given us through the years. It's been vital to our marketing, and we appreciate it. Just wanted you to know that. A couple things as I travel the country. It has been really exciting the last 2 years to hear from my peers from every other state and even internationally who say to me, we don't know what's going on in South Dakota, but you guys are all the buzz. We are flying on a Delta flight, and we see a huge spread about South Dakota tourism and economic development. We are turning on the TV on Thanksgiving, and we see the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and they're talking about South Dakota and Mount Rushmore. We go to a Minnesota Twins game, and it's plastered all over about coming to Pheasant Hunt in South Dakota, and you have a promotion. And our partners at Black Hills Badlands and Lakes sponsor a game there and have a big fireworks show, and people are talking about us. If you go to a Minnesota Vikings game, you can't miss South Dakota advertising in the Metrodome, especially for pheasant hunting. The Huffington Post, just in the last 2 months, because of the work we've done with a travel writer there, has written 5 national stories about South Dakota, the latest one coming out just a few days ago about South Dakota wineries. So it doesn't matter where I go. People say, I don't know what you're doing there, but we're talking about you, and we're wondering how you're accomplishing this. And, of course, I'm not telling them. But what I do tell them is that because we have an industry, we have a governor, and we have a legislature that believes so strongly in this industry and support it so well. So thank you again. I really do believe we have a model that others are wanting to emulate. A quick few numbers that I'd like to share with you this morning, and then I'll be available for further questions at the end of testimony. I want you to keep in mind these numbers. Some of these I will try not to give away because the governor has a press conference this afternoon where he's going to announce some of the bigger numbers. But I would ask you to stay tuned this afternoon when the governor has his press conference. He'll be announcing that we saw a really healthy growth rate this year as a result of the marketing that we've done and the total economic impact that it had in South Dakota. We had tremendous growth, and I'm really proud of that, and you can be proud of that too when you see that number. 1 to 5, we just completed a study that we will be making available this afternoon. It's a study that has been in depth. We've done it with a research firm that is the most respected in the country, Longwoods International. They have shown that for every dollar this state puts in marketing, we're seeing $5 returned in state and local tax revenue. And we'll have more detail to share on that this afternoon, but that is an important number. 19%, almost 20% of all state and local tax revenue generated by tourism-related activity in 2012. So almost 20% of state and local tax revenues raised as a result of this industry. This equals nearly $300 million in South Dakota. 27,000. That's how many people are employed in the tourism industry in South Dakota. It's 1 out of every 11 jobs. Another number, $878. The amount of additional taxes each South Dakota household would have to pay if the tourism industry did not exist in this state. Again, I thank you for your time. I thank you for your support. I'll be here for further questions and look forward to visiting with you a little bit more. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Secretary. Not many people who come forth are that show that much appreciation for legislators, so we thank you. Thank you for the accolades. Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jim Shady with Shady Vineyard and Winery at Volga and Deadwood, South Dakota. I want to talk about the matching dollar challenge that we've been able to use through the tourism department. The 14 wineries in South Dakota are the South Dakota Wine Growers, and we've been able to do some marketing with tourism dollars, dollars from our own and from specially produced or block grants, federal grants that we've received. And it's marketing that we never could have done without the help of the tourism. And in our instance, we finally got somebody from Delaware to come to one of our sites, and so now we've had somebody from every state in the union and 11 foreign countries have been to our winery. So that's the impact that we like to see, is people from out of the state coming. We're 30 miles from the Minnesota border, and 30% of our business are Minnesotans coming to South Dakota to our winery. So we couldn't market if we weren't for those dollars that we've been able to partner, right? Our dollars, federal especially block grants and tourism dollars to market our wineries in other states. So we're very supportive of this tax. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony. Mr. Husted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Taxation Committee. I'm Ted Husted, president of the Wall Drug Store. Wall Drug Store learned how to get the traveling public off the highways and byways of South Dakota in 1936, when my grandmother told my grandfather that we have got to try and get some of these people that are going to Yellowstone and going to Mount Rushmore into our store. They were going broke. It had five tough years in the dirty 30s. Well, it worked, and the same marketing plan that we used back then, we are still using today. If the tourists come to South Dakota, we will get our share into our community and into our store. The tourism department is Wall Drug on steroids when it comes to promoting and marketing our great state. If the Department of Tourism is allowed to continue to promote our state, then Wall Drug, Wall, and the rest of our state will continue to be successful. Department of Tourism has been extremely successful in promoting South Dakota, and if they are spending marketing dollars in Iowa, or if they are spending marketing dollars in Colorado, Minnesota, or Wisconsin, or Kansas, we start seeing those customers into our store. If they're marketing in Kansas, then we start seeing more people from Kansas. And it's a no-brainer. Their advertising dollars are very effective. There's no unemployment in Wall. Wall sent over $2 million to our general fund last year, in the last fiscal year. Wall raised over $500,000 for our tourism department. Our city spent $2 million on our main street to replace our water pipes, and they should have probably done it 15 years ago, but we finally did get it done. And we used all local contractors to do that work. It was a $500,000 project that we spent $1.2 million on, and we'd be very proud if anybody drove through Main Street and just look what we did. So I would ask you to please support marketing or making the half-cent tourism tax permanent. Wall and Wall Drug are dependent upon these marketing dollars to be successful. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Husted. Further proponent testimony. Morning, sir.
Good morning. My name is Dan Tribby. I'm the general manager of Prairie Edge in Rapid City. Spent a little time promoting Main Street Square in Rapid City. I'm also on the executive committee of the South Dakota Retailers Association. And you've heard a lot of numbers and percentages, and I'm not a really big numbers guy, but I just want to share a little bit about what this means to, small-town business in South Dakota. The dollars that came in and the rise of numbers for us at Prairie Edge meant that we hired an additional full-time person, an additional part-time person. We pay those people a good and fair wage, and those dollars end up in every community in South Dakota. The other thing it did is, as our dollars go up, our sales dollars go up, we are in a position where we need to go out and purchase more items, more inventory. And we're strong South Dakota marketers, supporters. We buy artwork from Brookings. We buy glass from Hermosa. We buy jerky from Sturgis. We're big with the Native American community, so we buy beadwork from the Rosebud and Pine Ridge and Cheyenne River. And those dollars, increase in dollars, really give us the opportunity to go out and spend more dollars with the people of South Dakota. And some of the opponents of this will say that tax doesn't do anything for me. Well, it does, because the dollars that we spend with other South Dakota vendors and artists, those people are going back into their communities and they're reinvesting those dollars at the car dealership, or they're buying a home, or they're buying the necessities. And that, from a retail and just from a business perspective, that's really the big thing for us, is what does it mean to the community? We're out there, we hire your sons and daughters to work after school. We invite them to come back when they're on home from break from college and employ them. Hopefully we get a shot at them when they get out of college and come and stay in South Dakota and have those kind of wages to get people to stay here and enjoy all the good things of South Dakota. You know, the visitors that come, and where this money is spent really is bringing in people from out of state who want to come here and take home a piece of the South Dakota experience, whether that's a piece of beadwork or whether that's a piece of artwork or whether it's a package of buffalo jerky from Sturgis. They want to take something home, and because of that, it really does help us reinvest those dollars in South Dakota. So not only do you have those original dollars coming in on the sales tax, we also get that from the people of South Dakota reinvesting those dollars. I would just ask you to really consider that more than just the out the gate, the visitors coming in, but what it really means to truly almost every business in South Dakota to get those tourism dollars reinvested in their community, and it's a big thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Further proponent testimony. Just a reminder to please sign in if you are planning on testifying today. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Randy Grismer, and I'm a private business owner from Aberdeen. I operate a restaurant and a hotel there in Aberdeen. And I want to speak to you this morning about the impact that the matching dollars in marketing have on a community like Aberdeen and the things that we do. I shall be brief, but I want to be clear in saying that there are many things that small communities do to try and market their communities in a way that someone like Rapid City can't do or doesn't have to do. In Aberdeen, our restaurant and our hotel specifically benefit from the matching dollars that are used by the Office of Tourism and our community when we have events like the South Dakota Film Festival, Wheels and Wings, when we do things like Rockfest, when we have a speaker or a presenter, or in some cases a celebrity like Kevin Costner who attends one of those events, and people from throughout the community, the city, state, region, decide to attend and visit. What that means for our community and what it means for me specifically is literally tens of thousands of dollars of food and beverage sales. What it means for me specifically is literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in restaurant sales that are attributed over the course of the year to what we do in the lodging industry. What it means for our lodging industry in those communities is literally hundreds of thousands of room nights. And again, not to overemphasize how much this is as much jobs as it is a tax bill, perhaps way more a jobs bill. Small communities live and thrive on their small businesses. And I am a small business operator who knows the importance of those small businesses. Every one of them adds up. I want to be especially clear in saying that the events in Aberdeen that have been recipients of some form of marketing have been matched dollar for dollar by local funds. We as local communities understand the value of that marketing and know that we can partner successfully with the state to sell the state at large while still selling our communities at home. I basically want to close by saying that small communities, as much as any in the state of South Dakota, need the ability to market. And without these dollars, without this specific commitment, without absolute assurance that that continuity will be there, it would be a challenge for them to budget, plan, and successfully sell what they have. With that, I stand ready for any questions you may have, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Grismer. for the proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. My name is Jim Entman, and I'm from Sioux Falls. I own small businesses in both Watertown and Sioux Falls, and I'm an elected city councilor out of the city of Sioux Falls. And I've been involved in tourism my whole life through the state, the local, and it's been extremely exciting for me. As you can imagine, marketing dollars are always a challenge for all of us. And what the halfpenny does for all of us, it allows us an opportunity to get out there and market our businesses and market our communities. In Sioux Falls, as an example, we recognize the importance of the bid. And as a city council, we passed a bid to support our CVB, our local CVB. By doing that, it has also allowed us to invest in a co-op advertising program with the state of South Dakota. And it's going to be, for the first time, we're implementing that this year. The CVB is, and I'm sure Terry will talk about it soon. But it's to bring people into our city and into our region in the wintertime, not just in the summertime. So it becomes a very important marketing tool for us. I'm also the city's representative on the Sioux Falls Sports Authority. And we have also partnered, and the state has partnered with us, tourism has, to fund the Summit League basketball tournament. Can you imagine the excitement of bringing 12,000 screaming fans into our brand new event center that we will have in 2014, and the economic impact that those folks will have for a period of 5 days. When you see a USD, SDSU, North Dakota State University playing in the Summit League basketball tournament, it's going to be a huge, exciting event and drive a lot of dollars into our communities. This is extremely important for local governments as well as it is for business, and I urge your support.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, committee, my name is Jim Burgess. I am a partner in Black Hills Harley-Davidson, Sturgis Harley-Davidson. We're a key component to the largest tourism event in South Dakota. We employ 500 people. We have 9 locations, and we collect taxes on about $14 million in revenue in a 2-week period. It is essential to our business that South Dakota tourism remains strong. I ask you to please vote yes for this and keep South Dakota tourism strong. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, sorry I have kind of a hoarse voice. I think maybe I didn't get home as early as some of the others last night. And by the way, Mr. Chairman, I want you to know that this entire industry, the visitor industry, loves legislators. We love legislators, by golly. My name is John Brocklesby. My father started the Reptile Gardens back in 1937. So we've been involved in this industry almost as long as my friend Teddy Husted at Wild Rug. Just a couple things. I'm going to be very brief. A couple things I think need to be reemphasized. Over 75% of this tax paid by out-of-state people, okay? I have never had one person ever question the tourism tax that has been a guest at Reptile Gardens. For the tourism industry, the extra half cent brings in about $2 million. That is all co-op money. So really, it's $4 million that's out there. It's hard marketing money on the street. That's what brings the people into our state. And I really urge you to give serious consideration to this tax. It is vitally important for our industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony. Morning, ma'am.
Good morning. I'm Pat. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Pat Boyd, Executive Director of South Dakotans for the Arts. We're a statewide organization of 100 local arts agencies. Thank you for your service on this committee and for your consideration of this bill. Forgive me for reading, but time is short. I don't want to miss any points. We have tried this tax twice, and it has worked. You may find this hard to believe, but I do believe that the sunset was entirely appropriate. We all had to see if this would work because it is so important to us. Our state arts agency, the South Dakota Arts Council, was at risk in 2009, and not because then-Governor Rounds didn't find the arts state arts agency necessary, quite the contrary. His team saw tough recessional times coming, and they saw what mattered to the grassroots, the citizens of South Dakota. They knew that the people that would present the case to their elected officials, would make that case. They knew that the people in every part of the state would insist that the South Dakota Arts Council continue to exist and to serve the people of the state. The people did insist, and at the 11th hour of that remarkable session, we did it all together. We did it by imposing an additional half-penny tax on visitors to our state, visitors who come to see the monumental artworks, South Dakota's world signature, visitors who come here to experience the America of their imagination and discover that it's still real. We preserve this American reality at considerable expense and with considerable profit. This tax is appropriate. This tax has worked for South Dakotans. It has brought revenue painlessly, saved the effort of collecting and dispersing it, and I do not dismiss that effort. A portion of this revenue funds the South Dakota Arts Council and is matched at the federal level by the National Endowment for the Arts, the NEA. Our Arts Council receives the highest ratings from the NEA for the quality of its programs, its accessibility, community cultural development, arts education, and support of working artists in the creative industry. The Arts Council delivers a big return on investment for all of us. Another portion of this revenue funds the preservation and presentation of history at the Cultural Heritage Center here in Pierre. The rock-bottom function of archaeology is supported by this fund. Central to building anything in our sedimentary state of ancient oceans and the artifacts of civilizations, archaeology is important, too. Making sure South Dakota stays South Dakotan is important. Our identity is defined by our traditions and our ability to create greatness from the resources at hand, our people and our land. Our great and small stories are told and held in our hearts by the arts and by our heritage. This is not a new tax. This is a proven revenue resource. It not only promotes a leading industry, tourism, but also ensures our most precious cultural resources, the foundation of our tourism industry. As the advocate for countless real South Dakotans who support the arts, I ask you to support this bill. I am here for any questions you may have with regard to the arts portion of this funding mechanism, and I thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Boyd. Further proponent testimony. Morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Michelle Lentz, and I'm the Executive Director of the Rapid City Convention and Visitors Bureau. Contrary to what you may have heard in the past, East River and West River really do work together, and we wanted to show that to you today. Terry, what Terry and I do is so very similar. Our budgets are very similar, and we have cooperative marketing programs with the Department of Tourism, which we could not even begin to do as we have the past few years with the availability of this tax. So we just want to ask for your support. We want to tell you that it's made such a difference, a significant difference in Rapid City, in the increase in not only our bid tax, our business improvement district tax, but our BBB tax for Rapid City. Tax receipts are great and a great increase, and we just ask for your support. Thank you so much.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. I'm Terry Schmidt, Executive Director of the Sioux Falls Convention and Visitors Bureau. As Michelle said, we do work together all the time, as we do with other CVBs and attractions and businesses throughout the state. You know, we're here, and I think this room shows this morning that we are here together as one, because what is good for one of us in South Dakota is good for all of us, and we all work together to make that happen. Michelle alluded to our increase in business. Our occupancy numbers are good. Our sales tax numbers continue to increase along with the occupancy, the room tax. Our employment numbers are strong because of the visitor industry. And this is due to increased marketing, not only by you know, hundreds of small businesses throughout South Dakota, communities throughout South Dakota, but in addition to South Dakota tourism, because all together we can make this increased marketing happen. Standing alone, we could not do it. We all need to come together. And with the competition in our industry that you see across the United States, we have to continue. That need is strong. That competition is fierce, and it will continue to increase as other states increase their budgets to go after that visitor dollar. Everybody wants those visitors in their communities. I guess, again, together, we all ask for your support of this bill as tourism partners in this room, and we certainly see this as a need for the continuation of strong economic development and the economic well-being of our state as we move into the future. So thank you for allowing us to be here today.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Is there further proponent testimony?
Mr. Chairman, Lauren Pankratz, registered lobbyist for the Visitor Industry Alliance again. That is going to conclude our portion of the hearing this morning. And I would tell you that if you have the sign-up sheet in front of you, there are any number of folks who would be able to give you from communities around the state more stories of what this has meant to them and what it means to the state. And I hope you can appreciate how much fun it is for me to work with these people. You look up fun in the dictionary, and there's a picture of every one of these people there. And so with your permission, Mr. Chairman, to use Representative Solem's comment, if I might ask all of those who are able to stand up to show their support of House Bill 1066.
Please, those folks stand up. It would appear that nobody's here for House Bill 1039, which is the next on the agenda. Thank you, folks. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1066? You will be in the minority for sure. Any opponent testimony on House Bill 1066? Seeing none, I'm going to close this portion of the committee hearing, and I'm going to open it up to the committee for any questions that they wish to direct to any of our testifiers today. Any questions of the committee? Representative Feinstein.
I guess, I don't know if I need Department of Revenue or if I need Mr. Pankratz to answer the question, Mr. Chair.
You shoot your question, and we'll see who wants to answer.
Well, the question is, I'm a big proponent of this, was 4 years ago, but I have a question because I know a lot of participants participate in the revenues that come from this half penny, the lodging industry, I mean the promotion, but what about the assurances that the arts, the archaeological groups, and the historical society, that they're going to get this too? Because there's nothing in the bill that says that. I think it's very important that all those, when we put this in place in the very first time, all those were participants and players in it. And what is the assurance, or is that up to us?
Secretary Hagan, I see that you would like to answer the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Feinstein. Great question. In 2009, when general funds, because of the bad economic times, were taken away from arts, the Archaeological Research Center, and history, at that time, some of you may not realize that the Department of Tourism and State Development was tourism, economic development, it was the History Office, it was the Arts Council, South Dakota Housing Authority. It was a big entity, and that was a reorganization that occurred under Governor Rounds. When Governor Dugard came into office, he also did a reorganization. And the Department of Tourism today is tourism, the State Historical Society, and the South Dakota Arts Council. So we are the Department of Tourism, those three entities. Archaeological Research Center is a part of the State Historical Society. In 2009, when dealing with this funding with the Appropriations Committee, there was a letter of intent that came down from the Appropriations Committee saying, with the general funds that are being taken away from arts taken away from the Historical Society, taken away from the Archaeological Research Center. We would like to see the same amount of funds restored that are generated by that half penny, and we would like a letter of intent setting that out. So there is a letter of intent with the Appropriations Committee that the money that they lost through the general funds would be replaced by this half penny, and that it would stay at the same percentage, essentially, that they were receiving in general funds.
Follow up, Representative Feinstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think that's great, but are there assurances that that will happen? Because that could change, too. I mean, I think those others are so noble and need to be in
right.
there that we need to know that that does stay for the arts, for the archaeological, for the historical, as well as the promotion. And I guess...
Mr. Chairman.
Please, Secretary.
Yes, and we are fully committed. As Secretary, I'm fully committed to honoring that letter of intent. It's something that we're reporting to the Appropriations Committee, I believe, every 6 months. We send a letter to let them know how the funding is coming in, how it's being allocated. And so we will stay true to that letter of intent. And as I said, we continually report to the Appropriations Committee on that.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Further questions?
Yes, sir.
Representative Latterell.
This question is for Mayor Secretary Hagan. My question is, do you know the exact amount of dollars that is spent on cooperative marketing specifically? Because there was a number of things mentioned that received funding through this half-penny tax.
Mr. Chairman.
Please, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, Representative Latterell. Great question. We do. We have, and there, I have all sorts of numbers that I can provide to you. If you would, you know, if you want me to, after the committee, I'd be happy to provide a total breakdown for the last 4 years or so in terms just for the last 4 years. We could go back further than that if you'd like to, but we could show you specifically, break it out by peak season marketing, by our winter marketing, by our fall shoulder season marketing with each one of our co-op marketing partners. So it can get to be pages and pages and pages of documentation, but I can provide that easily to you.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Representative Latterell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there an approximate number from that $2 million that you could give me?
From 100%, yep, Mr. Chairman, thank you. 100% of the half penny, it raises about $3.3 million. Of that $3.3 million, $2 million comes directly to the Department of Tourism. We take 100% of that $2 million and either put it into cooperative marketing programs with our partners or into the Matching Dollar Challenge. 100% of it goes directly back into marketing.
Further questions? Representative Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 2009 was my first year in the legislature, and we had 30-some million dollars to cut at that time. My question goes to, you know, this was originally sunsetted, and then I believe it was sunsetted again 2 years ago. How much thought or consideration went into the idea that this could somehow have a dedicated stream of revenue out of the general fund rather than going to a tax?
Mr. Chairman, Hagan.
Thank you, Representative Russell. Unfortunately, I wasn't here during that time frame when those discussions were occurring, so I probably can't shed a lot of light on that. You know, going back to Pat Boyd's testimony of, you know, at the time that this was implemented as a sunset, I too thought that was a good idea, and I still think it was a good idea because it makes you prove that you can see a return and that these marketing dollars are being spent wisely. And I think as you can see today, I think it has been successful. In terms of where that funding comes from, you know, whether it continues from this half penny being made permanent, or it comes from the general funds, that really is in the legislature's hands to decide, and more of a policy question, I think, that legislators would have to deal with.
Representative Russell, follow up.
And I guess more of what I was speaking of is, or trying to understand is, in the current, as we do a run-up to this idea that we want to extend this permanently, I'm just kind of curious, amongst the tourism department and the industry, and the governor's office in particular, how much thought went into the idea in as we were determining whether or not to extend the tax permanently, about going back to the general fund or maybe trying to find some other dedicated stream. Now, my understanding is that the reason that this is very advantageous, and obviously it's worked very well, and the tourism department is to be commended for that. My interest is we have a $16 million apparently on the bottom line that is unobligated in this budget as it's been proposed by the administration. And I'm just curious as to the deliberations that went on as it relates to whether or not we even considered trying to find another dedicated revenue source out of the general fund rather than extend a tax.
Secretary Hagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Russell, for the follow-up. Being candid with you, Representative Russell, the half penny has been, as you've heard today, such a successful model for us to be using. Other states have asked us about the model that we do have. We are constantly out surveying the industry, talking to the South Dakota Retailers Association and others to say, what are you hearing? Are you hearing any complaints whatsoever about this half penny? We're constantly monitoring the email that we get from visitors, and we get a lot of email. I would say, thankfully, 98% of them, very complimentary. So because it has been working so well, we haven't had a discussion, and in working closely with the Visitor Industry Alliance, we didn't have a discussion about going back for general funds. You know, that in good years and, it makes sense if there's money to do that. But we know that in recent years, the economy hasn't been that great. And so and when it comes to looking at areas that you have to cut back on, you know, everyone takes a shot. But the fact that we could have a dedicated funding source that is working so well and has gone over so well with retailers, with the industry that actually stepped forward and said, hey, listen, we're willingly stepping forward. Go ahead and tax our business, and we'll pay this to ensure that we can continue to do this marketing.
Thank you. Are there further questions? Further questions of the committee? I'm going to ask a couple here, maybe a few. I've heard from a number of folks that 77% of the dollars are paid by non-residents of South Dakota. How have we quantified that?
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the question. We work with IHS Global Insight, which is one of the largest econometric firms in the world. It's the same firm that the Bureau of Finance and Management uses for the state of South Dakota as well. I have the utmost faith in their methodologies and in their research. It is flawless. They spend countless hours and months digging through our data, looking at working with our Department of Revenue, specifically digging into the county level, the local level, to look at tax receipts coming in, who's paying the tax, etc. So through their methodology, they are, and we can provide that methodology to you if you'd like, Mr. Chairman, they are absolutely 100% certain in their numbers, and they said without question, and actually the number changed. It's now 76% this year. 76% of this money is being generated by out-of-state visitors.
I'd like the simple version, if I could. Dumb it down, though, for me. How many businesses in South Dakota are identified as visitor-intensive, or you know, how many participate in this tourism tax?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, that's not a number I have offhand, but I can sure work with the Department of Revenue to get that number to you.
Is there anybody who might have that answer? I see Ms. Johnson pointing.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, what Lauren just handed me was all the businesses that are affected by this half penny, but I don't have a specific number, but I can work with revenue to get that to you.
Okay, I would appreciate that. And this is something I visited yesterday with Mr. Pankratz on. So I guess just if you could kind of outline how the dollars are distributed, so on and so forth, maybe percentages that go to the Arts Council, the Archaeological Society, cultural heritage, because I recognize that this is going to be outside the appropriations process by nature of this funding mechanism. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the question. So for FY14, here is how the breakdown would occur. For the half penny, for just the tourism division, and just my office, we're looking at about $2.1 million. For arts, from the half penny, we're looking at about $731,000. For the Archaeological Research Center, the half penny, $338,000. And for the Cultural Heritage Center Museum, from the half penny, about $235,000.
Thank you. And then each of those entities submits a budget proposal to you as the secretary, and you then determine, you know, if those needs if the request is appropriate and so on and so forth.
Correct? Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay. Are there further questions? Yes, Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question, if I may.
Please.
Mr. Secretary, I'm a little concerned about the percentage that art and archaeology are receiving. Does that remain a flat amount, or does that increase too as revenue increases?
Mr. Chairman.
Secretary, please.
Representative Peterson, thank you. As far as I know, Representative Peterson, the formula that was established essentially in terms of replacing those revenue, we continue to match. So if tourism is supposed to get 60-some percent of that, we get that 60-some percent as those revenues come in and as the money comes in. If the arts is at 22%, they continue to get the 22%. So we stick to that formula that was established by the Appropriations Committee.
Any further questions of the committee? Some questions of the committee? Seeing none, at this point I will close the committee questioning portion and open it up to committee action and or discussion. Representative Feinstein.
Mr. Chair, move do pass.
It's been moved do pass by Representative Feinstein, seconded by Representative Solem on House Bill 1066. Discussion on that. Representative Feinstein.
Mr. Chair, thank you. To keep it short and simple, I think when a group or an organization comes and says they're willing to impose a tax on their own products and services, that's a huge step in a direction that we should take and we should heed. I've heard from lots of folks throughout the state on this. I see my own constituents here promoting this, former constituents, people I've known for a long time. And I think this is a great thing for South Dakota. It's proven that it does work, and I think we have to continue it. And I urge us to vote yes and send this to the House floor, and let's get this through to the governor.
Further discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I look at this, or any good business person has a sales and marketing team, and in order to continue good business, we have to make sure that our sales and marketing team has the resources for them to do their work. Members of the committee, if you look out here, this good-looking group, maybe with one exception, this good-looking group is our sales and marketing team. And over the next few weeks, we are developing a business plan for the state of South Dakota. And our sales and marketing team needs to be part of that business plan, and I think it's up to us to make sure that they have the assets or the resources necessary for them to do their job. And so I would urge you to join me in supporting this piece of legislation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair. Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a lot of perspective on this as being a legislator when we voted on it in the past, and I've been on the CVB board in Aberdeen and actually a past president there and served as a liaison to the Hotel Alliance. My family runs Thunder Road in a few different locations, and seeing it from all those different perspectives, I see the value of this tax. And I guess the number one reason why I think I asked this committee and the members of the legislature to continue it is the budget certainty. If you put it into the general fund, it is extremely uncertain, and it's at the will of the budget process, which on any given day that can change dramatically. And so I think the number one reason why we need to pass this is ensuring the budget certainty for the Department of Tourism and the other entities that are funded off of it. There, I mean, there's obviously other reasons, but that's the number one reason that I would ask this committee to support it. Thank you.
Are there, yes, further discussion? Representative Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wasn't going to comment, but as you know, in Mitchell, we have several attractions that benefit, and without the Corn Palace and Dakota Discovery and the archaeological dome, we would be in a world of hurt. But I wanted to talk a little bit about actually taking this from the budget, and that idea, I think, obviously takes money then from education and from potential Medicaid providers or our community service organizations or groups within our communities. Plus, we don't have the advantage of seeing increasing revenue. Excuse me. As this works, the revenue increases, which means more money goes into the industry, which makes totally more sense to me as we go forward. And not to dismiss the fact that we may be in a long haul with a drought, and tourism has always been important, but it may be even more critical as we go forward. So I very much support seeing this half-penny increase. In fact, if I had my way, I would have it a penny, so I won't be greedy, though. I'll stick with a half penny. Thank you.
Are there further comments, further discussion? Representative Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My district, which is in the southern Black Hills, is probably arguably the most benefited area of the entire state from this tax. Many of the businesses in that district rely heavily on tourism. And I certainly appreciate the industry and what I've always considered to essentially be a selfless act on their part to collect this money and to tax their own industry in order to promote South Dakota on behalf of everybody in the state. I do have some hesitancy only because of, you know, we had a crisis at the time that this tax was implemented. I do understand the beneficial nature of having a steady stream of revenue. And that's, I think, probably the most, the greatest selling point in my mind is that it has worked. The industry supports it and continues to support it. And therefore, it's my intention to vote to get this to the floor of the House of Representatives. But the one thing that I think is critical in this discussion is that I had a family from out of state that did some calculations on what it would cost to vacation in one of the larger cities in this country versus coming to the Black Hills. And we have a very affordable vacation for families in this state, and you've done a very good job of making sure that that's the case. And I think that it's so important that as we look forward, that's what we want to keep here. Is an affordable family attractions and making South Dakota the most attractive and affordable place in the country. And so it's with that little bit of hesitancy that I do request that there at least be some thought and we've got a long way to go in this session, that there may be some other mechanism within the current budgetary situation that we could get a dedicated revenue source other than simply increasing the tax on the industry, because I feel that that's been essentially a selfless act on the part of the industry over the past number of years. But I do support this, but I think that we at least need to contemplate how we can maximize the effectiveness of this program and do it without making the cost of coming to South Dakota any more than it absolutely has to be, because I think that that's the reason that we are so successful. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Russell. Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I also want to join in thanking all of you for showing up. Taxation Committee is always this way, you know, big crowds, and this is really, really cool. We normally meet at 7:45, but we knew Johnny B was coming, so we set it back to 8:30 today. And, but it's just great to see all of you. I just want to share in all the sentiments that have been expressed. I think this is exactly how economic development ought to work, and a lot of us who are wrestling with economic development issues, this is a model, I think, for the legislature. Everybody pays the same tax. We find a model where the industry is supporting the investments. It works for small businesses. It works for big businesses. We measure it. We track it. We make sure it works. I mean, this is how economic development really ought to work in South Dakota. And the unity that you guys have shown, and I mentioned that yesterday at the luncheon, I mean, the unity is amazing, because it would only take about two or three people coming up here and muddying the waters, and this thing could be, you know, a close call. But the kind of unity you've shown, not only in the legislature, but every day in your lives, I mean, you know, we kind of mingle with the tourism folks year-round, and, I mean, it's that way all the time. And it's not East River versus West or North versus South or anything at all. So it's pretty impressive to the legislature, and I hope we can take this very model and move it on to some other things this session. So thanks so much for all you do. You made it an easy morning for us. Appreciate it.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Ladrell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Representative Nordstrup. Could you comment on the you mentioned how it's important to have a steady stream of revenue, and could you just make comments from your perspective on any benefit of accountability that the sunset could provide versus the necessity to have a, you know, predictable revenue stream for the efforts?
Representative Nordstrup, do you choose to answer the question?
I suppose I'll try to answer it. Well, I think the budget certainty is critical. Is if you looked at, and Representative Russell mentioned it, yeah, there's money on the bottom line, or it looks like there's money that we could appropriate today. But looking outside of South Dakota and what the federal government may or may not do to us is why I think putting it into the general fund, when we know we're going to be facing cuts from D.C. and we're heavily dependent on federal funds, tourism would be, with a lot of other things, probably on the chopping block as soon as the federal cuts came in, if they were in the general fund. So I think keeping a dedicated funding source that's in statute that is hard for us to mess with to put into something else is a good safety net for the industry, and also good to have that dedicated source. So,
thank you, Representative Nordstrup. Appreciate the background.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming forward today and testifying concisely. You know, you've made your case in a very concise fashion. Much appreciated. We've expedited the process pretty well. Some of those of you who have visited with me over the last few weeks know that I was reluctant to support the bill. You folks have almost tipped me to the other side. There are a few. There are a few issues that do remain, and I think some of these matters that have been brought up, talking about maybe codifying the distribution mechanism and so on and so forth, I think some of those things bear further discussion and consideration. So, but again, very much appreciated. Thank you for getting through your testimony in the fashion that you did. And with that, we have a motion do pass on House Bill 1066. Representative Wick, did you?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wick.
Perhaps I can tip you just a little bit further, Mr. Chairman. Because I think as you consider this, and several have touched on it, I don't want this to take forever. That's why I wasn't going to say anything. But when you look at the things it's done, and you look at the way it grows itself and increases the revenue that's there, it's our job in the future, if they ever change what they're doing percentage-wise, we can come in and address it at that time. But I think that that's a decision that was made in the letter of intent. If they fail to follow that in the future, then it's up to us to change it. Thank you.
Points well taken. I should also mention that Representative Northrup, for his shameless self-promotion of his own business, will suffer ramifications. We have a do-pass motion on House Bill 1066. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Kirschman?
Aye.
Feinstein?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Latterell?
Aye.
Novstrup?
Aye.
Rosum?
Aye.
Rasmussen?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Duvall?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
Greenfield?
No.
That's 14 yay, 1 nay.
House Bill 1066, having received a majority vote of the committee elect, will go to the floor with a do pass recommendation on a 14-1 vote. We'd hate to see it go out on, or even have somebody suggest it could be on consent, you know.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you so much for your indulgence and your support.
Thank you. We are up against time here. Is the Department of Revenue present for House Bill 1039? We are going to take up House Bill 1039, and we'll see if we can expedite that bill as well. What's
up? We missed that.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
Yep.
At this point, while there's a little break in the action, I will ask for a motion to approve the minutes of the previous meeting.
Second.
Moved by Solem, Representative Solem, seconded by Representative Duvall to approve the minutes. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Minutes are so approved. With that, House Bill 1039 is up. It's an act to clarify the gross receipts subject to taxation by the retail sales and service tax, the gross receipts tax on visitor-related businesses, the municipal non-ad valorem tax, and the municipal gross receipts tax. Ms. Page.
We'll wait until it gets a little quieter.
It won't take, we'll give it just a couple more seconds here. Everybody's filing out. Those of you listening on the internet, apparently, as I said, all the interest was on House Bill 1066. Ms. Page has lost what could have been a very powerful cheering section.
Well, they're all gone. Now we can do some damage here.
And members of the committee, I've visited with a couple of the folks from the department about this bill. It's pretty straightforward. So they're just seeking, I think, to codify what's already in practice. So I think we can probably move this along relatively quickly. Thank you. Ms. Page?
Jane Page, Department of Revenue. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I know this bill is a little difficult to read, so I thought for those of you who are new to the legislature or new to the tax committee, I would explain the different chapters of the law. In this bill, it mentions Chapter 1045. Chapter 1045 is the sales tax chapter. That's the 4% sales tax. In that chapter, it tells you what's taxable, what's exempt. It has definitions. It tells you what the rate is. Chapter 1045D is the one you just dealt with. That's the tourism tax chapter, the 1.5%. Chapter 1052 is the municipal tax chapter that allows cities to have a municipal tax of up to 2%. 1052A is the municipal gross receipts tax. That's the 1% tax, also known as the bedboard and booze tax. It's a 1% tax on lodging, restaurants, alcohol, and tickets to places of amusement, cultural, or athletic events, if a city should choose to put that tax on, and that is in addition to the city tax. So those are the four taxes we're talking about. And what we're saying here is that there's no tax on tax for these four taxes. This came from the Streamline Governing Board. They said, if this is the way you do it, and it is a policy, if this is the way you do it, would you please put it into statute? And I'll give you an example. If you have a $100 motel room here in Pier, you're going to have those four taxes on top of it. You're going to have state tax, tourism tax, city tax, and municipal gross receipts tax. So those four taxes apply. When you calculate those taxes, they're all calculated on $100. The state tax is calculated on $100. The city tax is calculated on $100. The tourism tax is calculated on the $100. And the municipal gross receipts tax on the $100. So there's no tax on tax. If you did have a tax on tax, you'd be calculating the state tax on $100. Then you calculate the city tax on $104. And then the tourism tax on top of those two taxes. That's what you would do if you had tax on tax. We're just saying everything is calculated on the gross receipts, not the tax. We're putting it into policy into statute so it's clear, it's revenue neutral, and we just ask your support of 1039. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Ms. Page. There are further proponents on House Bill 1039. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1039. Seeing none, are there any opponents? Opponent testimony, House Bill 1039. Any opponents to House Bill 1039? Seeing none, we'll close the hearing. We'll waive the rebuttal as there was no opposition. Are there any questions of Ms. Page? Any questions of the committee on House Bill 1039? Seeing none, we'll close that portion of the committee and open it up to committee action and or discussion. Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Move to pass on House Bill 1039.
It's moved by Representative Solem, seconded by Representative Erickson. Do pass on House Bill 1039. Is there any discussion on that? Any discussion of the committee? Seeing none, those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Kirschman.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Latterell.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Rosum.
Aye.
Rasmussen.
Aye.
Erickson.
Aye.
Duval.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
That's 15 yeas, 0 nays.
House Bill 1039, having received a unanimous vote of the committee, will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Been moved consent by Representative Wick, seconded by Representative Kirschman.
Yes.
And Representative Feinstein has objected. That will not go to the floor on the consent calendar. Representative Feinstein, would you take House Bill 1066 to your caucus, please? And Representative Peterson, would you take 1039 to your caucus? And Representative Latterell, would you like to take 1039 to your caucus? If we could get the department to provide pitch sheets to those folks, that would be wonderful. With that, very, very much appreciated the way that the committee has conducted its business today very expeditiously. And is there a motion to adjourn?
Mm-hmm.
It's been moved by Representative Solem, seconded by Representative Hunhoff to adjourn. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned. Committee, please, committee, remember to leave your binders here, if you would, please.